good to see you and to be with you today as we spend some time now in a study of God's Word. Today's service has been very encouraging. I appreciate those songs that Kyle has led, and the sentiments and the singing is very encouraging, and the prayers, and to remember the Lord's death and to contribute, and now to have an opportunity to study from the Word of God. In our scripture reading, Enoch walked with God. That's an expression that is used both in the Old and New Testament to talk about a close fellowship and relationship with God. And I want to talk about that this morning. If you'll turn with me to Amos chapter 3, Amos chapter 3, let's consider one of the more well-known verses where Amos asks the question, can two walk together unless they be agreed? We're glad that you're here, and I hope that our study will encourage us to have a closer walk with God. I just realized that that would have been a great song right before the sermon, but I forgot to tell you that ahead of time. Just a closer walk with thee would have been a good lesson. A good sermon to go with the lesson. A good song to go with the sermon. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, Amos asks the question, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Let's look at that for our admonition this morning. When you read verse 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, you're going to find that Amos actually asks seven questions. We're going to read them in just a minute. The first thing you're going to notice about these questions is they're all rhetorical questions. Amos already knows the answer to these questions. They're all answered in the negative. No. So you're going to want to take notice of that. They're rhetorical questions answered in the negative. The second thing that you're going to want to notice about these questions is that Amos starts off with questions about the natural world around him, things that his audience could appreciate and understand very easily. Two people walking together, that's a very easy illustration. And then he uses some other illustrations that everybody understands from the physical world. But he wants to, look at verse 7 and 8, he wants to make spiritual applications from these physical illustrations. That's the second thing you're going to want to notice. And then the third thing you're going to want to notice about these questions is that Amos is trying to do something very important in this little section. He's trying to teach that for every effect, there is a cause. There is a cause and effect relationship. If you have an effect, there has been a cause behind that. And if you have a cause, it's going to lead to an effect. So I want you to notice that about this section of scripture here in Amos chapter 3. Read together with me Amos 3, 1 through 8. Hear this word that Jehovah has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land of Egypt. In other words, the children of Israel. Say, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore will I visit upon you all your iniquities. If you back up to chapter 2 and look at verse 6, Amos points out the sins that are in Israel. If you back up to verse 4, he points out the sins that have been in Judah. And so it's come time now to visit in judgment upon these sins. Now, Amos is preaching about 30 years before the fall of Samaria. God uses Assyria to judge Israel for her sins. And Samaria falls in 722 BC. In the 750s, about 30 years before the fall of Samaria, God sends Amos, a farmer, a sheep herder, to preach, to try to bring his people back. Well, many of them do not listen, and so Israel falls anyway. But God has compassion upon his people, and he sends them preachers, and Amos was one of those. So in chapter 2 and verse 4, he lists the sins of Judah, and in chapter 2 and verse 6, he lists the sins of Israel along with the sins of other nations. And so when we come down to chapter 3 then, in verse 2, I will visit upon you all your iniquities. I'm going to punish you for your sins if you don't repent. And then the series of questions in verse 3. Shall two walk together except they be agreed? No. Will a lion roar in the forest when it has no prey? No. Will a young lion cry out of his den if it have not taken nothing? No. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin or trap is set for him? No. Shall a snare spring up from the ground and have taken nothing at all? No. Shall the trumpet be blown in a city and the people not be afraid? No. Shall evil befall a city, and Jehovah hath not done it? No. Surely the Lord Jehovah will do nothing except he reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord Jehovah has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Amos is making the point that for every effect, there is a cause behind that. And Amos is going to make two different applications of that. The first one is found in verses 7 and 8, and he's saying, the reason that I'm preaching is, that's the effect, God has caused it. God reveals his message to the prophets. And I'm preaching to you, not because it's my opinion or what I think or what I feel, it's because God has spoken to his prophets. That's the cause. And the effect is, I'm preaching to you. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Two walking together, that's the effect. The cause was they both agreed. They both agreed, and so now they're walking together. For every cause, there is also an effect. And a lion roars, that's the effect, because he's gotten his prey. That's the cause. And you go down through each of those questions. For every cause, there is an effect that goes with it. And so, the reason I'm preaching is, God has revealed his secret to the servants, his prophets. In verse 8, the Lord has spoken. That's why I'm preaching to you. That's the cause and the effect. But then, the second way he's going to apply this is, if you start in verse 9 and keep reading there, the Lord is going to bring judgment on the nation of Israel for their sins. Verse 14, that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel. So, the effect is, I'm going to come and bring judgment and visitation upon you. The cause was, you are sinning and you will not repent of that. So it's a great chapter in which Amos is giving an apologetic, if you will, for as to why he is preaching and pronouncing judgment. There is a cause behind this. God is speaking to me and God is punishing you for your sins. I want to take the first of these seven rhetorical questions and use it as our admonition and our lesson today. Shall two walk together except they be agreed? Amos is using illustrations from natural life. People knew about walking together. People knew about lions roaring. In Palestine, there were lions at this time. We don't normally hear a lion roaring unless it's on TV or unless you're at the zoo. You're not going to be walking around Clarksville and you hear a lion roar all of a sudden. But in Amos's day in Palestine, there were lions, and they could hear that lion roar, which was very common after it would catch its prey, maybe get an antelope or some game, and it would have it in its mouth and lay it down on the ground, then it would roar. Well, the lion has roared. That's the effect. What's the cause? It has caught its prey. And you see the same illustration with the bird in the snare, or the trap springing up, or the trumpet being blown. The trumpet is blown because here comes an invading army, and so the trumpet is blown and people begin to fear. Okay, people begin to fear. because the trumpet is blown. And so this cause and effect is the thing that Amos is trying to accomplish here. Let's focus on this first question with regard to walking with God. I don't believe Amos particularly had in mind God and Israel walking together here in verse 3. That application could be made. He's just simply using an illustration of two people walking together. And they're not going to do that unless they've been agreed. But I want to make the application today with regard to our walk with God. And so I want to ask the question, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And I want to focus in on this point. What do we have to be in agreement on? What do we have to be in agreement on if we're going to walk with God? In our scripture reading in Genesis chapter 5, Enoch walked with God. They're going to have to be in agreement there on some things. So let's look at that this morning. First of all, for your consideration, you might want to think about the fact that we have to agree that we need to walk with God in the first place. Do we even need to walk with God? We need to agree with that. You know, the atheist is not in agreement on that. The atheist says there is no God. The skeptic and the agnostic says, well, I don't know if there is a God. The first thing you're going to have to come to an agreement on is that there is a God and I need to walk with Him. Now, for some people, they might need apologetics. They might need evidences for the existence of God. It could be the intricate design in the universe leads to a designer. Every design leads to a designer. Okay? It could be that. It could be other evidences, but some people need to agree that there is a God that they need to walk with. What is that for you? What is that for me? Are we in agreement that we even need to walk with God? You talk to friends at work and school and they're going to say, hey, I'm perfectly fine without God. I'm doing great. And so you might have people around you that aren't even in agreement that there is a God that they need to walk with. But Enoch understood that and he walked with God. And turn over to Genesis 6 and verse 9. Noah walked with God. He knew the importance of that. And so do I even need to walk with God? Turn with me to Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. This is a very important principle that we've got to get in our life, and the sooner we do that, the better. And that is that there is a God, and I need to be walking with Him. This is what He wants. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, act right and fair, according to God's word, to love kindness, treat other people properly, and then look at the third one, and to walk humbly with thy God. Do I even need to do that? That's the first agreement I need to make, that there is a God, and I need to walk with Him. I can't take care of myself in this life alone. I can't be my own God. You can read Romans chapter 1 where people have made themselves God. And you see how they spiral down into this spiritual black hole of degradation in Romans chapter 1. People whom Paul says they refuse to have God in their knowledge. Oh, I don't need to walk with God. I'm good. And you see that downward spiritual spiral there in Romans chapter 1 and all of the sins that they're committing. So the first thing we need to agree on, that there is a God and I need to walk with Him in my life. And young people, let me encourage you. The young people are living in a culture, oh, you don't need church and prayer and that Bible foolishness. That's ridiculous. And you're in a culture that is saying, oh, you don't need God. Just live your own life and do your own thing. Be your own boss, so to speak. And we see where that's leading so many young people. So the first thing we're going to have to agree on is that there indeed is a God, and I need to walk with Him. But let's look at something else that we need to agree on. Just think about, as we go through this lesson, just think about two physical people walking. Just two people that want to go outside and walk. Just think about that for a little bit. What else are you going to have to agree on? If you want to walk with someone, what else are you going to have to agree on? Well, you're going to have to agree on the cost of your walk. What's it going to cost me? Am I going to have to go out and walk in the cold weather? Am I going to have to go out and walk when it's hot in the summertime? Is it going to be a long walk? Am I going to get tired? Is it going to be a short walk, just maybe around the house? Or is it going to be a long walk around the neighborhood or down the greenway? When somebody asks me, and you'll do this in your mind, if somebody said to you, hey, you want to go walking with me? What's the first thing you think about often? Well, what's the weather going to be like? And how far are you planning on going on this walk? And so forth. And so these are natural questions, and the same is true in the spiritual realm. You're going to have to agree that this walk has some challenges to it. Jesus said that we are going to have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus. There's going to be some costs along the way. It may be rejection from friends and family. It may be I have to really work at it to control my appetites and my desires. It may be that I need to give up opinions and what I think and feel and follow the Word of God. There's going to be some costs involved. So I've got to agree that the cost is worth it. And it is. And it is. Because we're walking with God all the way to heaven. And so there's going to be an agreement in this matter. I've got to agree that yes, there's going to be a cost. I'm going to have to deny myself some things and live by God's Word. And I'm going to have to take up my cross. Maybe standing for truth is going to cause me a problem, but so be it. Maybe obeying the gospel and being faithful in my service to Christ. Maybe people at work aren't going to like that. Maybe my boss is not going to like that. But so be it. I'm going to put the kingdom first, Matthew 6:33. And whatever the cost I'm going to have to make in controlling my tongue and watching what I put on my clothes, modest apparel, and in thinking properly and acting properly, it's all worth it. Because we're paying these prices now in order to have that home in heaven. That's another thing that comes to my mind. We're going to have to agree on the cost. And is it worth it or not? There are older brethren sitting here this morning thinking, you know, it is worth it. I've had to make a lot of sacrifices in life. And to put the church service in front of work, and to put the church service in front of sports and hobbies and other kinds of things, to put that first, I look back over my life and I realize, you know, it's worth it. Yes, there were times where I could have made a little bit more money, but that's not what matters. Yes, there are times when I could have been on a ball team or I could have been recognized for this or that, but that doesn't matter. I wasn't going to miss a Wednesday night for a ball game. Our walk with God is going to have some costs. And some sacrifices. But it's worth it. You know something else you're going to have to agree on if you go out and walk with somebody? You're going to have to agree on the starting point. Where do we start? Do we start right outside my house? Do we start outside the church building? Do we go outside at work during the lunch break? Is that where we're going to start? Where are we going to start? And when we walk with God, we're going to have to agree on the starting point. We're going to have to agree where this walk starts. And you know where it starts? It starts with you and I obeying the gospel and becoming a member of the Lord's church. It doesn't start with my good life. Well, I'm going to walk with God because I'm just a good person. It doesn't start there. Good people, it's good to be good, but we're not going to heaven by just being good. Well, I'm a good person. That's not where you start your walk with God. I'm sorry. And, well, I'm a member of a denomination. And I'll pick a denomination. And I'll be faithful in that. That's not the starting point. I'm sorry. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Matthew 16:18. I've got to be a member of the Lord's church as it is described in the New Testament. I don't just scroll on my phone and pick something. I don't go with something that my parents raised me in. And I appreciate my parents, but my parents could be wrong. I don't pick a church based upon tradition or parents or family or friends or what I scroll on my phone and see. That's not the starting point. I've got to be a member of the Lord's church. And in Mark 16, 15 and 16, when Jesus sent his gospel into all the world with the preaching of the apostles, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the starting point. And Peter in Acts chapter 2, 38, repent and be baptized. That's the starting point of my walk with God. And I'm going to have to agree on that. And that I'm simply going to be, Acts 11, 26, a Christian. Not a blank Christian, some denominational name, and then Christian. Just a Christian. You know, there's a lot of people in life that want to walk with God. But they pick their own starting point. I'll tell you what, the starting point is faith only. No. New Testament doesn't teach that. Well, the starting point is just being a good person. No, New Testament doesn't teach that. Cornelius, Acts 10, was a good person, but he had to obey the gospel. Lydia was a good person, Acts 16, but she had to obey the gospel, and so forth. There's all kinds of good people in the book of Acts, but they had to obey the gospel and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And so that's the starting point. And if I'll start there, I know that I can walk with God. You can't walk with anybody unless you both start at the same place. I'm going to walk with Kyle. Kyle says, okay, I'll tell you what. Chris, you start walking at your house, and I'll start walking at my house, way up there on Tiny Town Road, and we'll walk together. No, we can't walk together. Two different starting points. And it's the same with our relationship with God. What is the gospel? He's telling us what the starting point is. And let's help others see that. Let's do it ourselves, and let's help others to see that. Well, here's something else you're going to have to agree when you walk with someone. You're going to have to agree on the purpose of your walk with God. Now, you might be thinking, well, wait a minute. Is it walking? Is there really a purpose to walking? Yeah, there's different purposes. You know, when the service is over with, and you're going to walk to your car. Okay, you're just going to walk to your car. But if you were walking in order to exercise, that would be a different kind of walk. You would pick up the pace a little bit. You got to burn some calories. That's a different kind of purpose. Okay? And maybe some of our military guys, when they're in formation and they're doing some of their marching and maybe even walking, there's a little bit different purpose going on there than just strolling to your car. You know, there's different purposes. Some walk for exercise. Some walk just simply to get from point A to point B. Some, after they come out of surgery, what does the nurse want them to do? Get up and get what? Ambulatory? What does that mean? Get up and get moving around. That's how you get your health back, and that's how you build up your strength again. Well, that's a completely different kind of walking. Up and down the hall of the hospital is different than exercise, where you're getting after it. It's a different purpose. And so we're going to have to agree, what is this purpose that we have with our walk with God? We'll turn to the well-known Matthew 5:16, where we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And why do we do things? To glorify God who is in heaven. That's the purpose of this walk with God. To glorify Him. To bring attention to Him. Look at John 21, verse 9. When Jesus talked about the death of Peter, look at what he said there. Even in death we are to glorify God. Jesus prophesied of the death of Peter and how he would glorify God. Even in his death, how do you do that? Well, you die a faithful Christian. Even in death we are to glorify God. I've told you before that I've been to some funerals where the person was so bad, they couldn't even talk about God. It was terrible. When I die, I hope something is said about what I've said or done, and I hope that the message is about glorifying God. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2. I like how in one book, Peter mentions so much about the importance that our life is about glorifying God. That's our purpose, brethren. So every day you get up and you're walking with God. Well, why am I praying and reading my Bible and talking with others about the gospel and living right? I'm honest at work. I'm honest at work. And I act the right way at work, and I act the right way at school. Why am I doing all of this? Ultimately, it is to glorify God. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, we are a people for God's own possession. Look, that you may show forth the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness. That's why we're here. To show forth the excellencies of God. And one good way to do that is just to talk to others about God. Just drop down a couple of verses. When we have our behavior seemly or proper among others, they may, by your good works which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That's why we're doing good works, to bring glory to God. And turn with me to chapter 4 and verse 16, that when we bear the name Christian and when we suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. I'm amazed how big of a theme that is with Peter. That's why we're walking each and every day. That's the purpose of it. It's not about us. It's not about bringing attention to us. What else are you going to have to agree on if you walk with God? Well, you're going to have to agree on the route that you take. Kyle and I are walking, and Kyle says, I'm going left. And Chris says, well, I'm going right. Well, we're no longer walking together. You're going to have to agree on what route you're going to take. We're going to walk around the track. We're going to walk around the neighborhood. We're going to go up here to Liberty Park, walk around the ball field. What's the route? What's the path we're going to take? You know, you're going to have to agree with God on that. And you're going to have to agree that God lays down the route. You can look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6. This is one of many, many places in the Old Testament where God told Israel that I need you to walk according to my commandments. Thou shalt keep the commandments of Jehovah thy God to walk in His ways. That's the route. I'm going to have to agree that the commandments of God and the ways of God and the Word of God is the route that is taking me from here to heaven. It's not opinions and what I think and what I feel and human traditions and religious councils and creeds. I've got to walk by the Word and ways of God. And the moment we stop agreeing to that, then we part company with God. Look at Leviticus chapter 26, where God warned Israel, be very careful that you do not walk contrary to me. Look at that. And we know that later in Israel's history, they did that very thing. If you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me and so forth, He will bring judgment. The root, brethren, is the Word of God and the way of God. Look at Ephesians 2:10. God has prepared good works that we should walk in them. Where does that come from? What are the good works? It's the good works that God has prepared, and it's the good works that are in the Word of God. And what God has prepared and revealed in His Word, we need to walk in those good works. We are to walk worthily of God. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12, and chapter 4, verse 1. We are to walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John 1, 7. That's the root. It's the root of light. Light, here in John and other places, is the way of truth and righteousness. That's the root. And when sin is in my life, I'm not walking in that root. When human words and wisdom are guiding me, I'm not walking in that route anymore. I've got to agree that there's one and only one route, and it's God's ways. And I'm not going to walk contrary to that. And when I agree to that, then he and I can walk together. We're going to have to agree on the route that is taken. Will you agree to that? Will I agree to that? Boy, in today's denominational and religious world, it's all about what we want in the church service and how we can show our talents and what we would like and what we're good at and the show that we want to put on. And people are not asking for book, chapter, and verse. People are not asking for New Testament authority. People are not asking, what does the Lord want? What does the Lord say? What would the Lord have me to do? And so what's happening is what you read often in the Bible, you'll read passages that talk about walking after your own heart, walking after your own lusts, walking in the vanity of your mind. There's all kinds of walking that people are doing, but it's not in the ways of God. That's the root. And you're going to have to agree to that, and so am I, in order to go to heaven. If Daniel Mayberry and I are going to walk together, and he says, well, I'm going to be climbing some difficult places here, and that the trail's going to be hard, and it's going to be uphill, and it's going to be a bunch of rocks, I'm going to go, well, I don't think I want that route. You do that on your own. I want a smooth, level path. He'll say, okay, well, we just can't walk together. We have to be in agreement on the route to be taken. Here's something else we're going to have to agree on. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 25, verse 9. Isaiah 25, 9. If you want to walk with God, you're going to have to agree on the pace that you take. Sometimes when Sherry and I are walking together, she says, Chris, could you slow down? And I say, well, could you speed up? And we have to meet somewhere in the middle, don't we? We have to have some sort of meeting in the middle. That happened with my dad and mom all the time. We'd be out somewhere. Dad was flying. I guess I get that from him. Mom is not as quick. And she'd say, Bill, could you slow down? We're going to have to agree on the pace. We're going to have to agree on the pace. And what happens in life is we've got our own way and how we're going to handle things that come along. And we get out of pace with God. We've got to learn, as Isaiah says in so many places, I've just mentioned two. Isaiah is one of the bigger ones that talks about waiting on the Lord. You're going to have to walk at His pace. Let me turn over there. And as I'm turning over there, let me ask you this. Are you inclined to walk ahead of God? You want to walk ahead of God? Is that how you want to live your life? You're going to lead Him. You got it all figured out. Or do you want to lag behind and drag your feet? And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is Jehovah. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Same thing in chapter 30, verse 18. Same thing in Lamentations 3. Waiting on God is being patient and following His word and His will and His plan. I don't walk ahead with what I think and feel. I don't drag behind with I don't want to obey. We walk hand in hand with God, and we're patient. And we let His Word work in our lives. When I pray, I'm patient until God answers that. When there is disease and illness and sickness in my life, I'm patient as I'm working through those things. Job loss, death, serious illness. We want to jump ahead of God or we want to lag behind, and we need to patiently wait on the Lord and let His Word work in our lives. But what we want to do is we want to walk faster than God and away from God like Jonah, because we don't like where God is going. And I don't want to patiently wait for a prayer to be answered. I don't want to feel a certain way when I'm struck with disease. But I've got to remain faithful to the Lord. And whatever He gives me in this life, I need to walk at the same pace. And that's based upon what He's told me in His Word on how to handle situations that come up in my life. But others want to walk behind. They want to drag their feet. I don't want to obey the gospel. I don't want to come back to the Lord. I was baptized years ago and I've dropped out and I've left the Lord. I haven't darkened the church building in years and I that's not for me anymore. And we're dragging behind. We're falling behind. We're dragging our feet. And we've got to be on the same pace. God sets the route. He sets the pace. And we've got to follow Him in every aspect of our life. And then last of all, if you're going to walk with someone, you're going to have to agree on the final destination. Where are we headed? Where are we headed? Where are we going? Are we walking to the store? Are we walking to the mall? Are we walking to the house? Where are we walking? And there is one destination that needs to be on our mind. It was on the Apostle Paul's mind. It needs to be on our mind. Where after becoming a Christian, in Philippians chapter 3, he explains how that he had been living in Judaism. Somebody says, well, I'm in a religion. I don't need to give that up. Well, if it's not what God wants me to be in, he was in Judaism. But he had to leave that in order to obey the gospel and become a Christian. And he talks about that in Philippians chapter 3. And after leaving that behind, he says in verse 14, I press on toward the goal and to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Living the Christian life now that ultimately leads to heaven. And in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 1, Paul says, if you have been raised together with Christ, he's talking about being raised up from the waters of baptism, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I can't walk with God if my goal and my destination is just the here and now. Material things. Money. Power, prestige, worldly things. I can't walk with God. He's on a different track. He's wanting to get me to heaven. And when my destination is somewhere else, I can't walk with God. I've got to agree to set my mind on things that are above. And so, brethren, can two walk together unless they be agreed? No. No. Amos says, for every cause, there's also the effect. And God has told me to speak, and that's why I'm speaking. And people walk together because they first agreed. That's the cause and the effect. And in our relationship with God, we've got to agree on some things. And one place that I know of in Scripture where the phrase, walk with me, is shown is in the reward that is mentioned in the church at Sardis there in Revelation 3:4. That if we will not defile our garments, spiritually speaking, we can walk with Christ in white in heaven one day. Our walk with God now allows us to walk with Jesus in heaven. Let's agree. Let's agree that there is a God and we need to walk with Him. There will be a great cost, but it's worth it. Let's agree that the starting point is our obedience to the gospel. Let's agree on the purpose and the route and the pace. Let's agree that the final destination is heaven. It's good to see you this morning. I'm glad that we have our visitors especially and our regular members here.
let's agree, it's the greatest agreement you'll ever make, and that is to walk with God. And if we can help you with that choice this morning, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?